Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
And now you're listening to Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Well, I know you're sick of talking about it, but it is the All-Star game, and you know, I know that 11-game losing streak was just crushing to the Cubs, and I guess we sit here now in the middle of July not knowing where you're going to be at the end of July. How do you keep your concentration through all that?
Honestly, I feel like moving around all these positions really helps me. I mean, it's a new thing every day, and I'm just, you know, trying to focus on that day. And, you know, right now I still got the Cubs in my chest, and I'm proud of that. And I'm proud to play for such an unbelievable city. And until they tell me I'm not, I'll go out there and give it all I got.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on The Score.
That was Chris Bryant to Joe Buck during the All-Star Game. Audio courtesy of Fox. Another Fox employee, Dave Wannstedt, will be in studio in about 10 minutes. Bart Winkler in half an hour or so. So we'll get about 20, 25 minutes with Dave Wannstedt. Then Nick Wright will join the show. It's going to be hard to kick Dave out that quickly. Hopefully he's here right on time. But if we have to move Bart, maybe we will. We'll see how Dave's doing. We've poured him some bourbon. We have some beer for him. We're going to try to recreate that in-studio vibe that we had so much fun with Dave Wannstedt. But I am doing a family trip to a lake house with my parents and my sister next week. Pre-scheduled thing. Was
it the same sister that you chose to go to the Cub game with us over Tanny?
Yeah.
Okay.
Same one.
All right, cool. Just want to confirm.
Yeah, no problem. And so, you know, if I'm doing a family vacation, like with just like my nuclear family, sometimes I will plan for it to be convenient for sports. Not ideal necessarily to leave when Bears are reporting to training camp and it's trade deadline week, but these things happen. And so I realized, I was like, oh man, I'm not going to be here when the Cubs trade Chris Bryant. And I don't know who else is definitively going to be traded other than Bryant and Kimbrel, but it certainly could be Anthony Rizzo. It could be Javier Baez. It could be Andrew Chafin. It could be Wilson Contreras and Kyle Hendricks. I don't know. But I know that I've loved watching Chris Bryant, and I know that before the year I was very adamant that Chris Bryant was the one that I wanted extended, and Chris Bryant's had a great first half of the season. And so I was like, I want to address how I will feel when Chris Bryant is traded on the show. And Shane said, why don't you do something like you did with Deshaun Watson? I'm like, well, yeah, because that aged well. When I wrote that open letter to Deshaun Watson. And so this is not necessarily an open letter to Chris Bryant, but I don't really do anything scripted on the show. But I wanted to just exactly how I feel, because we don't know what they'll get. We don't know when it'll happen, but we're pretty sure that I won't be here for it. So here's how I'll feel when the Cubs trade Chris Bryant. Don't let anyone tell you that this day had to come. There's no reason that Chris Bryant shouldn't be a Cub for life. He did everything that you could possibly ask of a superstar, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Chris Bryant is exactly that, a superstar. No, he's not a top five player in the game, but he's absolutely a top five player in the history of the Cubs. And he was the best player on the team for the best era in Cubs history. He was the best player on the team that ended the 108-year World Series curse. That guy should be a Cub for life. That guy shouldn't be traded for pennies on the dollar because you couldn't agree to a contract extension. You know all the accolades by now. Rookie of the Year, MVP, four-time All-Star, plays anywhere on the diamond in a contract year without a whiff of ego or complaint. But what I'll remember most about Chris Bryant is the smile. And not the one that landed him eight figures worth of endorsements. The one on the field for the final out. You know the one I'm talking about. The one when he was fielding the short hopper on the wet grass in Cleveland after the rain delay. The one where he knew before anyone else that it was over. That wait till next year, the lovable losers, and I just want to win one before I die, were all the thing of the past. There's no hyperbole when it comes to Chris Bryant's time with the Cubs. A statue? Absolutely. His number flying on a flagpole? Not even a question. The fact that we all know there's some degree of bad blood or hard feelings on his end towards the team is a colossal failure of leadership. Whether it was a service time manipulation, unreasonable demands from his super agent, or a guy who just got injured at the wrong time that made this day happen, it just shouldn't have. Some things in sports should supersede the circumstances of a given moment, season, or even pandemic. Chris Bryant should be a Cub for life, and now officially we know that he's not. Whenever he returns to Wrigley in another uniform, he'll get the hero's welcome that he deserves, but it's going to hurt knowing that it should have never come to this. Chris has earned the right to play wherever he wants next year. I just wish the Cubs had made it impossible for him to choose anywhere else. And that's it.
It's beautifully put.
Thank you.
It's a great email.
Why are we talking about this? Like, it's just filling time.
Yeah, we are filling time until Dave Wonstead walks in and we can start getting drunk.
I think I hear him in the hallway.
Oh, good. He carries himself.
Chris Bryant.
Oh, God, that'd be great. His smile is dreamy, by the way, wasn't it? Remember when he fielded that grounder and he's smiling because they won the World Series?
Oh, speaking of phrasing, earlier, Tanny's going to pull the audio for tomorrow. Earlier, you said that we're giving me the Goodfellas treatment.
Did I really?
Yeah.
Dave! Oh, my God.
You're by yourself.
Not anymore. You're here. Where's Speaks? Speaks is under the weather. So he's out. Yeah, COVID. Yeah. Yeah, post up right there. We poured.
There
you,
he is.
We poured you a drink. Good to see you, Coach. Oh, yeah, we got some bourbon.
There he is. That's, the man, the legend.
That's right. Put on that headset. Join us. You look tan. You look young.
I was in. I was real tan 2 weeks ago when I got back. You know.
Yeah. How was Naples?
Naples was fantastic.
Yeah?
We're not on, right?
No, we're on.
Oh, are we on?
Yeah, we're on the air.
I never know how this stuff works.
Yeah, no. He's,
what do I want to hit? I don't want to hit cough, right?
No. Unless you need to cough.
Gotta cough.
Yeah, no.
I can't hear anything, though. What are you doing in there? Shane, wake up.
All right, hold on.
You can't hear anything.
Let me turn the volume.
Yeah, turn up the volume.
There we go.
Okay.
Volume's
here
up.
Here we go, Jim. Here we go, Tony. Here we go, Dave.
Oh, there he is.
Did you really give me a little taste of something?
Yes. Huh? We come on, Dave. We have a rule here on this show. This isn't
unbelievable.
We're not a boring show. We're not Mully and Hall over here. We drink when you're on the show, okay? And I'm not saying that those guys are boring. I'm saying that those guys are sober.
Oh, yeah, sure,
I'm saying they're sober is what I'm saying.
No one took it that way. I just saw Mitch, the GM. I hope I'm back here, right? Is this my chair's still warm, isn't it?
Yeah, what do you mean you hope you're back here?
Okay, I just want to make sure we're all set.
We in negotiations?
No,
oh,
God, no.
Okay, good.
I don't know. We're good. We're good to go. Absolutely.
You don't negotiate anymore.
Well, yeah.
No, we just pay you what you're worth.
That's all.
That's good. That's
easy. It's easy.
Yeah, that's excellent news. But
this is part of it, of half a glass of bourbon.
It's in the budget.
We're in the budget.
We expense bourbon for our Dave Wonstead conversations. But how was your off season? Was it good?
You know what? It was very good. I had first time in a long time I had no surgeries. Usually I'm getting a knee or an elbow or something cleaned up, you know.
Yeah, he's got a knee.
I got a knee. I got neck, something cleaned up. But this year it was good.
How's the golf game?
Golf game doesn't get any better. I've got to make a commitment there. I'm poor. I don't like to practice. I love to play. I love a little bit of action. But I have a tough time getting any better. Then I won't play. I'll play a couple times here with my son-in-laws. And then once football starts, I just lose interest. So now the clubs are put away from 1st of August or so until March.
Yeah, it's tough.
Now I start over again.
So you'll gamble out there a little bit, though?
I gamble. If the weather's not, I get some things I got to check off before I'll play. Number one, the weather's got to be decent. I'm not going to wear a jacket or hold an umbrella. Number two, as long as I can have a cigar. Okay.
Obviously.
And number three, if I'm with people that I want to be with, and then I have a hell of a time.
That's great. So you don't even have your clubs here in Chicago?
I got clubs here, yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. We got time. Let's go play around.
Yeah.
Let's play around before football season.
I played in an event last Monday when I got in. Dan Hampton invited me to play, and Richard Dent was there.
Was it for Mongo?
No.
I know he had it.
But it was part of it was for him. Yes.
Okay.
I forget who was the sponsor behind this thing. But they did announce the guy that was chairing it that half of the money that they raised was going to Mongo and stuff. So it was a good deal, you know.
Have you seen him?
No, I have not. Not since I've been in town here, I have not. But I have followed the whole thing, and I talk to Hamp about it all the time.
You know? They're doing great work.
I know. It's difficult, but everyone talks about his attitude, and I could see that. I mean, he was amazing. I just coached him for 1 year. I didn't really coach him. I mean, God, he was fantastic. You know, with everything that we were trying to do at his age, at his point in his career, everything that he had accomplished, we came in and we ran training camp. We went, I think we were like 4.5 weeks straight every day, and we were in pads, and I had not given the players a day off or coaches. That's abuse now. And Keith Van Horn came up and a couple guys and said, hey, you know, what are we doing? You know, are we going to get a day off here? And I said, oh, God, I didn't even think about it, you know? Oh, yes. So I said, definitely. But the point was that Steve was one of the guys that he was up front leading the drills, and we were doing crazy stuff that was college stuff, you know, that he had done 15 years prior to that down there at Texas, and he was fantastic and gave everything that he had every day, practice, games, meetings. It didn't matter. He was into it. He was committed.
Man, I didn't even think about the fact that you coached him.
I had him for 1 year.
1 year. You had Dent, too.
Richard Dent. Keith Van Horn for 1 year. Sean Gale for several years. Sean did a great job for me. Oh, God, I'm losing, you know, Kevin Butler for 2-3 years.
Sure.
4 years, whatever it was.
I went to the taping of the Dave Wannstedt show, and Kevin Butler was the guest.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was in the very small studio
audience.
Did we talk
about him kicking field goals or how good his golf game was?
To be honest, I don't remember the topic of conversation. Was he a better golfer than kicker?
No. He was an all-pro kicker, and he was a scratch golfer. And,
I hate people like that.
But he taught me a lesson about kickers and golf. And I signed a player we drafted him, Todd Sauerbrunn.
Sure.
Out of West Virginia. And this kid set every – at that time, there was a kicker for our – older listeners here named Reggie Roby, who played for the Dolphins. Reggie had every college kicking record you could have had at Iowa. And he did it all. He punted, kicked off, he could do anything. Well, Todd Sauerbrunn broke all this kid's records at West Virginia. So we drafted him. And the day that they're coming in for training camp, I'm standing there talking to Kevin Butler, and we got talking about his golf game. And he turns to me and he says, hey, how's Sauerbrunn's golf game? And I said, you know what? I'm not sure. You'll have to ask him. And Kevin was a scratch golfer, and Gardocki, who was here, was a heck of a golfer. And so he comes walking, and Kevin tells me, he says, you know what, coach? There hadn't been a kicker that I've been around for 30 years that isn't a good golfer. These kickers, that's just what we do. And so here comes Todd Sauerbrunn walking up, and Kevin Butler, I introduce him. I say, hey, what's up, Todd? I said, meet your kicking buddy here. He'll be your holder. This is Todd Sauerbrunn. And he says, Kevin Butler, he says, how you play? What's your handicap? And Sauerbrunn says, I hate golf.
You found the one.
I should have known right then. And I
wasn't a good guy.
And I said something to Butthead. I just looked at him. He looked at me, and yep, here we go. We're off and running.
You're screwed in that spot. Dave, I wanted to play something for you. Did you happen to hear how Deion Sanders handled some questions at Media Day?
I read it that he walked off because they called him Deion and not Coach.
That's right.
And then he mentioned Nick Saban. And I did read the next day or two that Nick Saban guys called him in a 30-minute press conference, they called him Nick 8 times or something, right?
Yeah. So here's how Deion handled it.
Hey, Deion, I was just wondering if you could...
Oh, let's back up a little bit. You don't call Nick Saban Nick. Don't call me Deion now, okay?
I call Nick Saban Nick.
No, you don't. No, you don't. That's a lie. If you call Nick Nick, you know you'll get cussed out on the spot. So don't do that to me. Treat me like Nick.
Okay, Deion. All right. Just...
So that's him walking off when he says, okay, Deion, you call everybody coach.
Well,
and so I'm just curious how this works here. Deion wants to be called Coach Prime, but you call people who are not coaches coach. What are we doing here?
With a lot of names and stuff, I tell them when I get introduced, people say, what would you like me to call you? Dave? And I know they're not going to probably remember. On a golf course or something, they're not going to remember. And I said, just call me coach. It's simpler. And, you know, it's all about keeping things inside the box, you know, keeping it simple. So when I see you, but if I get worked up over 40 years of coaching, the guys that I normally would get worked up with, you know, I'm not going to call players coach. Okay. And I don't look at you or Spiegel as a player, sure as hell. You know what I mean?
So
you fall into the next category.
Right.
And when I would be, you know how many times over 40 years of coaching that I've turned to my assistants and says, coach, are you kidding me? So that's, it comes out.
And so it's definitely true that I'm more likely to be a coach than a player. Right. There's no question about that. But I think it's funny that you would be introduced to somebody at a charity golf outing and assume that it would be easier for them to call you coach than Dave.
Well, that's how most people know me.
Well, yes, of course, but if they're getting introduced to you.
I don't know if I've ever walked down Michigan Avenue. I walked up here right now, and I probably had, half a dozen people. Hey, coach. Hey, coach.
Nope, sure.
Not one person said, hey, Dave.
What about Wani?
Not much. Not much.
You know? Wow. Because when I was journalism school, whatever, it was like, you're not my coach.
Right.
You know, so I call you Jim Boeheim. I call you Greg Robinson.
Yeah. Usually when I call individuals that, I'm kind of getting worked up and lathered up, and I'm just talking.
Yeah, coach, you get it.
I'm trying to get something out quick. But I've done that on TV. I've done that on a Fox show on national TV. I'm trying to say, you kidding me?
Call Terry Bradshaw a coach?
No. Oh God, no. Terry's a player.
Call Kurt Menefee a coach?
No. But I have called. Colin Cowherd,
our guy. Yeah, call him a coach.
I just did something with him earlier. That's why I was late. I've called Colin. Yeah, it depends, Depends on what's going on. But
I guess I can accept you being late for Colin.
Yes.
Yeah, that's acceptable. I heard he bought a place in Chicago.
He did. He's remodeling it down on Pearson Street. In fact, we talked about it a little bit today. So he'll be up here a couple times during the football season.
Great.
So we'll have to put something together for sure.
Yeah, we'll put something together. That'll be lovely. But so,
or we'll get him on the show is what we'll do too.
We can do that.
I'll definitely get him on the show, and then we'll
have some bourbon.
We'll have a bourbon.
We'll have a bourbon with you, me, Colin Cowherd, and Matt Spiegel.
Yeah, he bought a place down there, and I don't know if he's going to keep it or what he's going to do. But he remodeled the whole place down on Pearson somewhere.
His wife's family's from here.
Oh, is that right?
So they're keeping it, and he's gonna be in town every now and again.
Well, he told me, we were talking today, and he says, I'll be up in Chicago. He says, I'm looking at two trips during the football season.
Oh, great.
So that's just perfect.
That's excellent. We'll get together. We'll go to his place. He could pick up the tab for a change.
Absolutely.
What do you feel like back in your coaching days? So today, it's 1 week from today.
Yes.
Is the first practice. So what, my wife was out with her girlfriends last night, saw Andy Dalton at a restaurant. So, like, they're, the players are obviously in town or coming into town right now. But what are the coaches doing right now with just a week until camp?
Well, this is a time that I definitely tried to, because we knew it was coming. Now, our training camps were a little bit different than they were today. I mean, we'd go away for 5-6 weeks, and it was locked on, for players and coaches. So, it was generally a time where we were just making sure that the T's were crossed and the I's were dotted, as we say, with all the playbooks, and double check what's our first 2 weeks of installation. What are we giving the players? Everybody's set. Who's going to be doing the talking? Because I used to like to split it up. We would just go through the day-to-day thing for the first week or two. And then I this was always a week where I wanted my coaches to get out of the office and get home and have dinner with their families. You know, this is it. We're winding it down now. And, you know, so it was generally a, hey, goodbye. The last week before when I was a head coach, I would generally go to Naples and, you know, kind of drive over about 3 or 4 days before camp. And in fact, that's when Ricky Williams called me. I was sitting over there in Naples, and he called me 1 week, like this time before training camp, and said, hey, coach, I'm on my way to India. I've had enough.
God, that's obviously something you'll remember forever in terms of like a curveball being thrown at your roster right before. Did you try to talk him out of it?
Yes, but he was – I did. In fact, I told him don't do anything until we talk tomorrow. And by the next day, he was writing a book with a Miami sports writer, and that sports writer had already broken the story to ESPN.
Lebatard, right?
Yep. So it was out there, and now – trying to get a hold of him, he called me in Hawaii on his way or someplace. It was out of control then. He was running. It was really stupid. He just flunked another test, and he got his first test for speeding. He was in the program, not for drugs, because he was speeding down there in Texas somewhere, and he got a violation, and you can get in the program for any type of...
Is that true?
Oh, yeah, any type of criminal activity. So he was put in the program initially... He was going, you know, 90 or 100 miles an hour on a road and got a ticket. So
can drug test you for and put you in the substance abuse program for speeding?
He was in the program for speeding. That was the offense that he got in the first time for. And then he flunked the second one, I think, was marijuana.
Well, it was definitely marijuana.
And the problem is, like in college, you know about it as a coach. And you get to the players and you can help these guys out. You know, in the NFL, with all the confidentiality and the way it's set up, I had no idea. If someone would have called me and said, hey, we got a problem, Ricky flunked a test, I could have got a hold of Ricky then, called him in, sat down, said, listen, you're going to be 4-game suspension or whatever, you know, and we'll get this thing worked through, and here's what we got to do. Everybody's clean. Let's move on.
Yeah, you couldn't make the test go away, but you could have, like, calmed him down.
Absolutely.
And convinced him, like, hey, this isn't the end of anything. It's just a little speed bump.
Right, this is the plan. And by the time that I find out, he was running. You know, I mean, he was so disappointed in himself and his family and, you know, and sponsors and everything involved in that it was a shame. It was a damn shame. It really was.
Yeah. I mean, he seems to have found, I don't know when the last time you talked to him, I've never talked to him, but he seems to have found a degree of peace with it now.
That stuff will make you feel
peace. Yeah, it's true. That's true. It's part of why I'm a big fan.
Right, Shane? Right, Shane? Yeah, yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, I agree with you,
that'll
Dave.
That'll make you feel
Yeah, 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 no. The weed. You never were a big weed guy?
No.
No?
No.
No.
Wait, but, Dave, why are you asking me about weed?
I'm the guy that you can ask about weed,
yeah,
Dave.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You guys.
It's legal now, Dave.
What got Ricky was when he was coaching.
Was the weed.
When he was coaching and he made the statement to his team, someone asked him about the marijuana, and he said that that spinach to Popeye is equivalent to marijuana to Ricky. And one of the kids went home and told the school board or a trustee. I don't know where he was coaching it. And that ended it. But I was with him. When did Fox have the Super Bowl? We had the Super Bowl 2 years ago in Miami.
Yeah.
And when Kansas City played, who did they play? 49ers.
Yeah.
And so we did the Super Bowl. So I was doing a couple events. And one of the events that I was doing involved with, sure enough, who was also involved was Ricky. And so that was the first time we had actually seen each other since the split. Yeah. And it was good.
No hard feelings, right?
No hard feelings. I mean, you know, at this point, I'm too old for that stuff. You know, time moves on. And it was a crazy situation for him because I was his guy. The last time I saw him before that, this is kind of an interesting story. There was a art school, music school, I'm not 100% sure what, in Miami, private school. And it was going to close because of funding. So Ricky cashed in a couple of his Ferraris or whatever he had to come up with some money, a couple hundred thousand, to donate to this school in Miami so that it could continue going. And so they passed this on, and President Bush then was the president. He gave Ricky an honor of, the, and I don't know what the title of it was, something about education and furthering education for young people and keeping it, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So they're going to have this big presentation down there in Miami for him at the school, hundreds of people. And the president couldn't come in, so he was going to have his brother, Jeb Bush, who was the governor of Florida at the time, come in and present him with the award. Ricky says, nah, I can't make it. So I'm getting this from our PR director, Harvey Green. So then they go to him. He says, well, how about if Mr. Huizenga, our owner, presents you with this award? Ricky, this is important to the club and you and your image and, you know, everything. You know, nah, I can't make it. He says, the only way I'll show is if Coach Wanstead comes down. This is how close we were. That's why I tell you the story. If Coach Wanstead comes down and presents me with the award, I'll show up. Well, hell, this is on a, the award's on a Friday night or something. I got my knee operated on down there like on a Tuesday. So I'm on crutches. And, you know, I said, you know, here's, it's Ricky. It's my guy. He's about 70% of my offense.
Yeah, you give him the ball 700 times a season.
700 times a season. 356, by the way.
Yeah, it was,
but it was less than Curtis Martin got at the Bill Parcells gate at the Curtin Bar. Anyway, that's another story. That's another story.
It was a ridiculous number of carries.
Put that on hold. Fine. That's on another, that's for another time.
Okay.
So, Ricky, so, I crawl. I can't even sit in the passenger seat. So I crawl my butt in the back seat of the car. My wife drives me down to this banquet. I hobble on stage in crutches to present Ricky with this award. So I give him the award. We're, you know, hugging, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Hey, see you 3 weeks from now or whatever it was, a month from now. And yeah, coach. So that's the last time I see him. The next time I hear he's on his way. Then I saw him at the Super Bowl 2 years ago or a year ago, whatever it was. And
that's a wild story.
Crazy. Yeah. Absolutely crazy.
We got to get him on.
Who?
Ricky Williams.
Yeah?
Yeah, we got to get you and Ricky Williams on to talk through some of this stuff.
Well, you just want to talk about the marijuana. You don't want to talk about football with him.
Yeah, that's right.
But he was a player. Trust me. Saturday mornings, I would come in the office early. No, players didn't have to be in early, day before the game. Ricky would be in there by himself, sitting there, and he would be calling every play versus every defense on tape and going through it. I mean, the guy was like super smart. He got it.
He was a hell of a player. I got one more thing that's in the news right now I want to ask you about, and we appreciate you coming in. We'll keep.
Oh, I'm not doing this the whole 3 hours. No.
Well, 3 hours. You want to stay the whole? No. We'll figure it out.
You know what? My grandson's playing in they're in the playoffs baseball game. I'm going to a baseball game tonight.
Okay. It's Dave Wanstead in studio. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
Dave Wanstead with Parkinson Spiegel.
And I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
On 670 The Score.
We will find out what happened in Milwaukee after they won a championship from Bart Winkler in 10, 15 minutes or so. Nick Wright will join us at 5 o'clock. But two more things that I had to ask and get out of Dave Wanstead here. You just took down that Buffalo Trace like an absolute pro's pro, my friends. Good for you. I mean, there's a lot of ice in that glass, so good job. Did you enjoy that?
I loved it.
I could tell.
What was the brand?
Buffalo Trace.
Yeah, okay. I haven't had it, but...
it's very good.
Excellent. Yeah.
I got to keep working on it. I apologize. Yeah. Well, but I was...
Danny's quite the sipper, Dave. Yeah.
I am a sipper, especially when I'm hosting a radio show. But
sack up, man.
He weighs 110 pounds. Right? I'm 230, so I can handle it.
You got some. Well, when's the last time you had some Iron City Light?
Boy, you know what? I was back to Pittsburgh to see my mother about a month and a half ago. So about a month and a half ago.
You had some Iron City Light about a month and a half ago.
Absolutely.
Would that be a good thing to wash down some Buffalo Trace with?
No, Iron City Light's a little. Oh, man. Are you kidding me?
Coach, are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me? with my name Coach on it. You know what? Can we leave that here and hide it, or will somebody, or should I take it with me?
I guess we could leave it here.
No one's going to steal it, right? No one's going to treat it like Heineken and Amstel Light and take it out of here, are they?
No. Well, I mean, Shane, can we put that in your fridge?
We can put it in my fridge, and that's incentive, Dave, for you to continue doing your hits here in studio, you can have an Iron City Light every time you come in.
Oh, I love it. Perfect. Oh,
wait, is there a question that he's not going to come in studio?
I don't know. He's kind of flaky.
You know what? That's a good taste in beer. And, you know, and a regular Iron City, I won't drink it.
Really?
But Iron City Light, there is a difference. And yes, I've had my share of that.
Well, Coach, I'm embarrassed to ask, but when I was down there in Pittsburgh back in June, we had the Iron City Light Mango. You ever have that one?
Please. We're talking to a guy that smokes cigars, drinks bourbon, and Iron City beer. Mango?
Dave, it's really good.
You know what? Did you actually order that in Pittsburgh and they served it to you?
That's all they had at one of the places.
That's very disappointing in my hometown. Very disappointing if they would serve a mango Iron City Light.
I got to say, though, I mean, you talk about being this big tough guy, but you'll only drink the light and not the original.
Well, when I was 15 years old, I was drinking the original, you know?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you a 10-second story. I know we got to go here, but I worked in my dad worked in J&L Steel, so I worked in the steel mills in the summer. And when they always put the college kids on a night shift, so we worked night shift. So my dad would switch his shift because we just had one car, so that way we could ride to work. We could work the shift together, and then I'd ride home. But the problem was 7 a.m. They were working three shifts a day back then, the steel mills. I mean, they were working morning, afternoon, and night. We would walk across the street to Yarsky's Bar at 7 a.m. when we got out of work. Okay, the sun's coming up, and it was, you know, five deep at the bar. My dad would go up there. I would stand in the back because I had workouts. I was up all night working in the steel mill, and I had pit workouts in the afternoon. My dad would, you know, get a shot or two, a couple Iron Cities to chase it down.
Sure.
And the bartender would look and say, does the kid want anything? And my dad says, no, he's got to get some rest. He's got to go down to pit and lift weights and work out. Well, you would think that saying that once the bartender would get it, because it was the same bartender, same guy.
Yeah.
5 weeks later, okay? I walk in. My dad walks to the bar, gets his two shots of whiskey, couple beers. The bartender says, looks, and now I'm like in the back of the bar in the corner. Does the kid want anything? My dad said, nope. He's got to go work out. I mean, it just like.
But they keep offering, and eventually you said yes.
It's a tough time, boy, I'll tell you.
And not anymore. They're serving Iron City Light with mango.
Think about that.
Dave, haven't you told us that you put ice in your beer?
He does.
And you're saying we're not manly enough for drinking mango Iron City Light? You put ice in your beer to make it more watery.
No, not to make it watery. It takes the carbonation out. You can drink more.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Wow.
It's also watered down.
He really check raised you, though. Not if you drink it fast before the ice melts.
Yeah, please, right?
right. His class of bourbon's already gone. Did it in one segment. All right. Hey, we'll talk more about this when we have more time, but did you see that Jerry Jones?
I did.
He's coming around on like.
I talked to Jimmy Johnson this morning. We talked about 6 a.m. this morning. Yeah.
What did he say?
Well, you know.
So for anyone who doesn't know, Jerry Jones, who broke up the Cowboys dynasty that Dave was a part of and got rid of Jerry.
You got to play that on the air. You got to play that if you have time today or something.
Jerry Jones basically just was like, I don't know why I messed it up.
Yeah,
I made a mistake. Yep. I effed it up.
And then he got emotional at the end and he says it's really disappointing what happened. And then today, did you see today's press conference?
Yes.
You were probably still sleeping. This morning
I didn't see it live.
Okay, he had a press conference this morning.
And Jimmy's great coach and ridiculous that my role here was my job to keep it together. It was my job. It should have had deference to something that was working good. So those are the things that come to my mind. We had a great run of it. He's a great coach, and I'm proud to have him as a friend and proud to have had the times that we had. We just had a great experience. What?
Do you think you can answer Barry's question now?
I've never been able to know why it up. that, not just that, but anything else. No, I can't answer those questions.
What did Jimmy Johnson say when he heard that?
Yeah, well, you know, I would say this, that they're going to be together at the Hall of Fame in 2 weeks. I'll be up there in Canton. And Jimmy was going to have his own party. And there's three Cowboys going in. There's Cliff Harris, and there's Drew Pearson. And Jimmy.
Yeah.
And Jerry called him about a month ago and said, hey, Jimmy, listen, why don't we do this? Why don't we just all come together and have a big Cowboy party, and I'll kind of coordinate the thing and on and on and on. So Jimmy and him had a conversation about a month ago, and you know what? I just think it's guys that, I mean, they're both getting close to 80 years old. You know what I mean? I mean, the clock's running, and you look back on it, and they're smart guys, and there's a heck of a lot going back to college with these guys. A ton more good years than bad, put it that way. You know, so I think that's what it's all about. And then today he got all choked up about being with his players and everything, you know, doing everything he could to win, yes, but he says the real enjoyment he gets is just being around the players, and I believe that. And that's what caused the problem with Jimmy. You know, you can only have one voice. There can only be one guy talking to media about what you're trying to do with Troy Aikman. You can't have two. It just doesn't work.
But he got rid of Jimmy to have that power, and he still does it.
He still does it.
He talks to the media every week.
Yeah, yeah. Mike McCarthy, God bless you, right? You got a tough job. It's not going to change. I mean,
but it's unbelievable. That was like arguably the biggest story in football in the 90s was Jerry Jones' breakup of Jimmy Johnson and yep. the Cowboys, and like it was always described as like an ego power trip type of thing that Jerry Jones couldn't handle how much credit Jimmy Johnson was getting. So like that admission from Jerry Jones today, I know it's a 25 plus year old story, but I mean, that's like
big news. No,
it's an unbelievable admission.
And I give Jerry a lot of credit. I really do, because I think, you know, Jerry's we all know how smart he is, and he knows deep down he could have kept Jimmy for 10 years, 20 years. Who knows how long Jimmy would have stayed there with him if it would have stayed the way it was in the beginning, but it didn't. And,
right.
And you see that more often than not with organizations in all sports, right? Baseball, basketball, football, it doesn't matter. Hockey,
absolutely.
Hockey.
But when I saw those quotes, I was like, I have to know how Dave and Jimmy feel about this. Yeah. So thank you for sharing. We will talk to you throughout the season. Let's get around to golfing.
Absolutely.
We'll store your beer here. It's good to see you, Dave.
Do I need to put my name on this beer again?
We'll protect it for
okay.
you.
Okay. I'm going to put it in Mitch Rosen's office. I think
he
that's
have
the only
a fridge. He's not as important as I am.
That's right.
Well, yes, he is. Trust me. Okay. All right. See you guys.
We'll find out what's going on in Milwaukee post the championship in just a couple minutes on The Score.
You know, it's crazy. That's what everybody, like, when I came here, they're like, yo, you got to, like, show, like, you got to be the dog. And I'm like, man, we got dogs. Like, they just say, like, we... Like, I got here, like, we already got dogs. They just don't know how to be dogs, and we gonna be dogs. And our dogs is crazy. We got dogs, you hear me? Milwaukee, we dogs!
That's PJ Tucker. I gotta say, the Deer District looked incredible. It was a huge party. I feel like, and this is just outsider perspective, I didn't see much in the way of viral news reports of like completely over the top, abhorrent, drunken behavior or criminal activity. But we always like to monitor parades for all of those sorts of things. So we go back out to the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas hotline, home of the world's largest sports book. Bart Winkler, morning guy, fan, Milwaukee. It's the South Beach of Wisconsin, is what they call Milwaukee. Bart, how did Milwaukee handle being Titletown USA?
Very well, I think. And I'm struggling after this week, but
dude, are you alive right now?
Is this Jesus. Great or what?
You sound horrible.
I know.
In the best
and I did
way
a show
possible.
Like this.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
No, I think what happened was Because I talked to a lot of people that had planned to go to the parade, and then they realized that it was during the day, and they're still recovering from Tuesday. Today seemed to be more like a family excursion. Tuesday night was, you know, we're about to win this thing. We're gonna go hard. Today was more about the families and the kids, and you know, still a lot of people getting out there. I mean, it was packed. I've never seen downtown Milwaukee like that. We've never had a reason for it to be. So yeah, I think all in all, unless something happened that I missed, I think we behaved.
Are you telling me that just now is when the fine folks of Milwaukee and the greater state of Wisconsin realized that most parades happen during daytime? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, everybody was all like, why can't they do it on the weekend? We gotta wait more days. The Bucks just had 2 months of grueling basketball activity. They're not going to sit around here and wait 5 days for a parade. They want to get this thing in and out.
Yeah, right. So, the guys want to go to California and Florida and get out of Dodge, of course. So you got to do the parade fast.
We want everything to be at like if this parade was at from 3 to 5:30 on Saturday, premium drinking time, that would have been ideal. But that's, I guess everything around here is premium drinking time. I don't know what people were mad about.
Yeah, it's Wisconsin. You can drink in the morning 2 days after winning a championship. What was the best anecdote or thing you witnessed from Deer District Game 6, Bar Game 6, night after Game 6 through the parade today in terms of just like, wow, that is how Wisconsin celebrates a championship? What's the best anecdote you got?
I think it was just the sense of community that I got, man. I mean, I've been to many Packer events and many Brewer events, and nothing to take away from those teams, but the Bucks are, it's different with the Bucks. It's different because they've been the third rung on the ladder for so long. It's different because the Bucks are more uniquely a Milwaukee team compared to like all of Wisconsin. A lot of people got into this Bucks ride throughout the state. A lot of people watch Bucks basketball for the first time ever these playoffs. It just hasn't had that reach. Giannis is certainly going to change that, and so will winning a title. But when you go down there to the district, it's just the thing for me maybe was Game 6, you know, with the Bucks in 6 moniker that Brandon Jennings came up with. We all knew they were going to win on Tuesday. That's why everybody went down there. They wanted to be a part of it. It just felt like such a finality. And really, you look back at this whole run, it's just been you couldn't script it any better. The Heat series is a sweep from the bubble last year. You take care of business. The Nets series was bananas. The Hawks series, Giannis gets hurt. He comes back in the finals, has an all-time performance. It's just incredible, and I don't think a lot of people around here still believe that it did happen.
Well, they should, because you guys are champions and you're the third or fourth favorite for next year, and you have one of the three best players in the NBA who's 26 and an absolute stud, man. I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled that the Bucks are champions of the NBA. I think it's an unimpeachable sports story, and we don't get many of those.
Yeah, and I think for me, and I think this is what I needed to be reminded of as a fan, is that, you know, the last 10 years here, there's been a lot of very close calls with Green Bay and the Bucks, and throw the Badgers football and basketball into that mix. And sometimes at your lowest of lows as a fan, you're like, why do I do this? What is the point of doing this? And then a week like this, a 2-month run like this, it is absolutely worth it. All of that heartbreak and misery and pain, to have what we were just able to have here, it is absolutely worth it.
Are you going to have a voice for your 6 a.m. show tomorrow?
Yeah, somehow I'm like getting worse. After Wednesday morning, I had 1 hour of sleep. That was bad. Today, it was bad. I don't know, man. I don't think so.
All right. Well, good luck with it, man. Good luck.
Would you like to try a shift in Milwaukee, maybe for fun, Danny?
No.
All right.
Yeah, good talk. See you out there.
I'll look elsewhere.
Yeah, I'll be a guest, but no, not interested. Bart, I'll talk to you soon, buddy. Thank you.
See ya.
That's Bart Winkler, the fan in Milwaukee. He asked a question. I gave an answer. It's very simple. Nick Wright has a unique ability to put an NBA occurrence into perspective. He also picked the Bears to win 12 games last year. He also has maybe the single coolest gambling opportunity of any person I've ever met or heard about coming up next Tuesday. And he's my best friend. And I'm hosting solo today. So I'm going to talk to Nick Wright next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.